Saturday Night Theatre. The Sybil Thorndyke Festival.
We present Sybil Thorndyke as Kate Murphy in God and Kate Murphy by Kieran Tunney, based on an earlier work by the author and John Singh. The scene is the living room in Kate Murphy's public house in a small town in southern Ireland, some 20 miles from Cork. Kate has been busy trimming a small lamp. Now it's glowing to her satisfaction, and she's replacing it in front of a statue as her niece, Sheila O'Connor, comes in.
There was not a drop of oil in it. Sure, I'd have lost my life if that had gone out.
I'm sure the Lord wouldn't hold it against you, Kate.
It's little enough he asks of us. What's Rory doing still upstairs? He's a terror to get moving in the morning.
Shall I go up and hurry him?
No. I'll give him a shout. Rory, will you please hurry?
Just coming, Mother.
Hey, Sheila, you'll be getting a good breakfast ready for your Aunt Nora.
Oh, one that would satisfy a ploughman. I hope she'll be able to eat it all.
Ah, she should. I'm told the food in England tastes of nothing.
Good morning, Sheila, Mother.
Good morning, Rory.
What an old sleepyhead. You could snooze till the cows come home.
I'm sure it's inhuman, getting up at this old while on holiday. I feel I'm still at college.
Ah, yes, I know. But my boy's expected to set an example to the town. Now, come on, hurry, dear, or we'll be late for mass.
I had to go out into the yard for eggs. It's freezing cold out. You should wear a scarf, Rory.
Oh, maybe I should. I wonder where I put that black one.
It's in the hall. I'll fetch it for you.
I feel guilty. You all spoil me so when I come back.
Well, and it's right and proper that I should. Show you the sun, moon and stars to me, child.
Oh, Mother.
You know, it's a wonderful thing for a woman to know that her son belongs only to God and herself.
Here's your scarf, Rory.
Thanks.
It's that lovely knitted silk one I got for you in Cork. Now, come on, let me get you nice and muffled up against the wind.
There.
Now, come along, son. We'll be as late as Carrie Donovan usually is. Oh, and Sheila.
Yes, Aunt Kate?
As soon as you brought Nora up her breakfast, you can start on Rory's and mine. We'll not be long. It's a short mass today.
Oh, Rory. Rory. What'll I do? Better take that tray up. Take one's mind off things.
Nora, here's your breakfast. Leave it outside the door. I'll be fetching it in a minute. Who is it?
Pat Malloy.
Oh, just a second, Pat. Sean, are you up yet?
Come in now. What is it, Sheila?
Oh, open the back door, will you? I'm getting breakfast for your mother and Rory.
Who on earth's making that row?
It's Pat Malloy, back from the fair, I expect.
Oh, Pat, is it?
Come in, Pat, come in.
It's like waking the dead, getting you to open up. And me at Kilmallock Fair since 5 o'clock this morning.
Oh, sorry, Pat.
Well, never mind. Fetch us a large one like a good boy.
He will, so.
Ah, that's me boy. Now, where's herself?
She's at the chapel with Rory.
At second mass? That's not like your mother.
Indeed, it's not. She's usually at first mass and long before Father Sheehan of that. But we had a bit of excitement here last night.
Oh, don't tell me you're having trouble with the new guard.
Yes, you're nothing like that. It's just that Aunt Nora's come home for a few days.
Nora? Back from London?
Yes, she arrived last night.
I suppose there's a terrible change in her.
Not a bit of it. Sure, she's just the same as the day she went away.
How could she be coming from that godforsaken country? Where is she anyway?
She'd breakfast in bed. She should be down soon.
Sheila, are you there, love?
Oh, Carrie. Aren't you the morning lark?
Ah, God bless you, Sheila. No one's called me anything but an old crow for years. I'm longing to see Nora after all her years in England.
She's not up yet, Carrie. Come in and have a cup of tea this afternoon. They'll all be here then.
Haven't you a greeting for me, Carrie?
Oh, it's that scallywag, Pat Malloy. Sure, I didn't see you tucked away in that corner. Sheila, Could I have a squint at the paper?
Oh, certainly. Here it is.
Now, they've raised the price from threepence to fourpence. Poor creatures like myself can't afford to know what's going on in the world. Oh, God knows, I'm told that's no loss.
State of the world, indeed. You want that paper to study the horses you hold
with? You're right, guilty boy. I may as well admit it. The Ascot Gold Cup's been run today. I must have a flutter, and I want to see if any of my old favourites are running. Mother of God, it's a big field. What do you fancy, Pat?
Ah, they've given it up. They prefer drinking to betting.
I'm more versatile, Patsy. I like them both.
Ah, why don't you just stick a pin? I used to find it as good as studying for.
That's what I do. There are too many horses. Lord preserve us. Look what I pricked.
What?
Doomsday.
Oh, Kate will have hysterics when I tell her that.
No, for heaven's sake, don't say a word. Not to Kate.
Why?
You see, underneath all that religious mania of hers, she's got a very kind heart. Gave me £5 the other day because she thought I looked run down. But she'd skin me alive if she thought I was wasting it on the nags.
All right. Off with your belay and your bet. I'll not say a word, nor will she.
Ah, thanks, Pat. Doomsday! To think I picked that!
Oh, poor old Carrie. Well, I must get on with my work.
Ah, Sheila, dear. Thank you. That was the best meal I've had in years. Is Kate back?
No, not yet, Nora. But there's an old friend here who wants to see you.
Hello, Nora.
Pat, I'm delighted to see you again. Let me look at you now. Why, isn't it grand you're looking?
Yourself too, Nora. Is the husband with you?
No. Sure, I had to leave him in London to look after the children. Tell me, how's the missus?
Sure, she's blooming. Nothing ever worries Mary.
That's what I liked about her. She always looked on the bright side of things.
Well, you must come out to the farm before you go back.
But of course. You and Mary I'll definitely call on. Oh, there are many old friends I'd like to see, but I'm only here for 4 days. And then back to London town.
Ah, you'd find lots of them gone anyway. To England or the graveyard. Sure, there's little life about the place nowadays.
Do you realise, Pat, I've been away for 12 years?
Is it all of that? Then Kate was still on the farm when you left.
She was. Till poor Jack died, leaving her with the 2 boys to bring up.
That's it. Then she made a bid for this place.
When she wrote to me about it at the time, I was a bit worried. I mean, giving up the farm and buying a public house. But it seems to have turned out all right. Kate must have worked hard.
She did that. But then she'd the mania for the money driving her on.
Mania for money? I was beginning to think it was a mania for the church.
Sure, it's come to that now. But it was the money she had to have first.
I suppose so. The body and the soul of a respectable life, as you might say.
Be careful of your blasphemies now, Nora. You'll soon be having a priest in the family.
I know. Rory, a priest. It seems funny somehow. When they were children, Sean was the one I thought might turn to the church.
It might have been better if he had.
He certainly doesn't seem happy.
Ah, since he left the farm, he seems unable to settle down. Restless he is and grudging somehow. As if he resented this fine business his mother's built up.
Interesting you should say that. I felt last night that he was resentful about something. Tell me. Oh, here's Kate now. Kate?
Yes, Nora?
You've got an early customer.
Who? Ah, oh, it's you, Pat. Well, how are you? I had an idea you'd be at the fair, and I was hoping you'd drop
in. It's fine you're looking, woman.
Well, I got my health, thank God. One can't ask for more.
I saw Bill Barrett's wife at the fair this morning. She was asking for you.
Is that so? Tell me now, how do you think Nora's looking?
Ah, sure. She's the same old tree and fourpence.
Remember the day we married her off?
Oh, I'll never forget it. Ah, that was a hooly for you.
Yeah, sure, it was a grand wedding, enormous.
Sure, there are no weddings like that these days. We were all plastered. I never forget that brother of yours.
Ah, poor old Matt.
He hadn't a leg to bless himself with by the end.
That reminds me, Kate. How is Matt? It's ages since I had a word of him.
Well, he's not too well at the moment, poor thing.
The old bronchitis again, I suppose.
Ah, that's it. I had a letter from him only yesterday morning, asking if I could spare Sheila for a week or two to help them out.
And you think you can?
Sure, it's out of the question. This is a busy time of the year. Besides, Matt and his wife have quite a bit tucked away, and they can easily afford to pay a girl from the town.
They were always the tight couple and no mistake.
Nora, Sheila give you a nice breakfast.
Wonderful. I'd forgotten how good a bit of home-cured ham tastes.
Pat, and that reminds me, I promised a ham to Father Sheehan. I was wondering if you had one already cured.
Father Sheehan? Oh, there's many more deserving in the parish than Father Sheehan and the likes.
Now, may the Lord forgive you. Where would we be these days without the priests?
And where, if it's not impertinent, would they be without us?
Will you listen to that? Isn't that nice talk to be coming from a Catholic, surely?
I think there's a lot in what Pat says.
Nora, so you've turned against your faith.
I have not. Because I think people pander to the priests in this country. It doesn't make me a bad Catholic.
Heaven protect me. I never thought I'd live to hear my own sister talk like that, criticizing a poor priest.
Poor indeed. Look at the fortunes they leave when they die. You can't tell me that's right.
True enough. And who do they leave the money to? To the Church of the Poor? Not in your life.
Ah, but if it's their money.
But it's not. And even if it was, why shouldn't they help support the poor in the church? They expect us to support them.
Wisha, Nora, how can you carry on like that?
I'll tell you. Religion, like everything else, can be taken too far. And that's what you're doing, sending hams to Father Sheehan when there are lots of poor people who need them more.
I'll not have talk of that kind in my house.
But, Kate, this is ridiculous.
Let's have an end of it. Yes, child.
Your breakfast will be cold.
Sure, I'm coming now.
And Rory, did he not come back with you?
I left him talking to the canon. He'll be here in a moment.
Very well, Aunt Kay.
Now, Pat, will you let me have the ham by the end of the week?
All right. I'll send it by Mary when she comes for the shopping on Saturday.
Oh, that's the thing. And let's have no more of your nonsense.
Ah, you're right, Nora. But there's no good in talking.
But there is good in talking. It's dangerous the way Kate and many like her lose sight of God in their search for the faith.
You're right, Alana, and it'll never change. Ach, well, all this blather won't get me home to the missus. Kate, give old Carrie 2 pints of stout and put them on that big slate of mine.
All right.
And good day to you now.
Good luck to you, Pat. Nora, I thought you'd gone out.
Aunt Kate?
Yes, girl?
I'm going across to Hennessy's to get a pot of marmalade.
What, have we run out?
Yes, and Rory loves it for his breakfast.
Ach, don't be long, then.
I won't be.
Oh, Sheila.
Yes?
In case I forget, I met 2 of your admirers on the way back.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Christy Nagle was in for mass with his mother, and that grand young gentleman staying with Colonel Fitzgerald. Sure, he fell off his horse when he was so anxious to hear news of you.
More fool him.
Isn't she the funny girl? Gets quite offended if any of the young men take an interest in her.
And who's this young man staying with the Fitzgeralds?
Vernon Musgrove. His father is one of the richest men in the north of Ireland.
One of the gentry?
Oh, indeed, yes. Okay. But sure, he might be a tinker for all the notice Sheila takes.
She's very young.
She'll soon be 19. And though I'm far too sensible to have notions about young Musgrove, Christy Nagle will come into Ballinrae, one of the biggest farms this side of Cork.
Perhaps she's fond of someone else. Someone nearer home.
Oh, Sean? Ah, I was going to talk to you about...
I didn't mean Sean. I meant Rory.
Rory?
It may be my imagination.
Of course it's your imagination. Everyone knows I'm the only woman in Rory's life.
It's simply that there's a sort of tenderness between them when they talk. You know, as if they were in love without knowing it.
Oh, but she wouldn't say things like that.
Oh, dear.
My Rory's never thought of a girl in that way.
Kate, for heaven's sake, sit down and drink your tea. I didn't mean to upset you.
I finished my tea and I'm not upset. Not about that anyway. Of course, they're fond of one another. They spend most of their lives together.
Exactly. Childhood sweethearts often fall in love when they grow up. That's why I thought...
Ach, it's all those films and things you see in London... Don't you think I'd be the first to realize if there was anything like that in the wind?
Oh, well, let's forget it. What were you going to say about Sean?
Only how pleased I'd be if he and Sheila fell in love. They're third cousins, I know, but she's a good girl, and I worry about him.
Why?
Well, I just feel he should marry.
Is that all, Kate?
No. No, I hadn't meant to tell you so soon. I didn't want to spoil your first few days. But I need to discuss it with you.
What is it?
He drinks. Oh. Terribly. I don't mean like the fellows who come in and have a few pints and go home feeling merry. No, this is different. Terrifying.
Oh. Awful. Well, what have you done about it?
Oh, what can I do?
But I've never known you like this. Of course you can. You must do something. I can't understand how you can let this go on without raising a finger to stop it. He's such an intelligent, sensitive person, too. Could he be unhappy about something?
Well, I was a good mother to him. Why should he be unhappy? Has he talked to you?
Of course he hasn't.
If I'd kept on the farm, he could have gone on with his schooling. I had help of a kind there. But, you know, this place took every penny I got for the farm, and I needed his help to get it started.
Many children in this country leave school early if their parents need them.
Then you don't feel that I was wrong?
Certainly not. Oh, if it had been Rory with his desire to enter the church that you'd taken from his studies, there might be some reason for regret.
Oh, don't let's talk about it anymore.
All right. But let me tackle Sean for you. I'll try and get to the root of the matter.
No, Nora, don't you say a word to him. Promise me that now, promise.
Oh, very well. If you don't wish me to.
Oh, well, you know, talking to you has eased my mind. I'll be able to deal with it now. At least I'll try to. Ah, there's Rory.
Morning, Aunt Nora. What does it feel like to be back in the old country?
Grand. And I'd breakfast fit for a king.
Ah, sure, if we've nothing else in hand, we've got the food.
And what kept you so long? Sit down now. Your breakfast's been waiting for the past half an hour.
Yes, it was the canon. He's a terror for talking.
No, no, no. Not a word against the canon. Remember, 'twas he brought you into the world.
Oh, is that a fact, Mother? And where did Dr. Reardon come in?
Your mother means the canon blessed your entry.
Ah, what a lot of nonsense you both talk. Now, here's your breakfast.
Oh, looks good. Thanks, Mother.
Well, what did the canon have to say?
Oh, the same old rigmarole about the responsibilities ahead of me. With all his chatter, I miss seeing Tom Bolster about the football match next Sunday.
'Tis training to be a priest you are, Rory, not a footballer.
Sure, a fella must relax sometimes. Am I right, Aunt Nora?
I'm not going to be drawn into this sort of argument. Besides, I must go up and finish unpacking my clothes.
Mother!
What is it, Sean?
Mr. Sullivan told me that they've got that new book I wanted at the library now. I thought I'd go and pick it up and collect that stuff from the station on the way back.
Why, well, haven't you had any breakfast?
I had a cup of tea. I didn't feel hungry.
Mm.
Sean doesn't seem to eat a thing nowadays.
Well, he never had as good an appetite as you.
Kay?
Ah, oh, there's Carrie Donovan in the bar. I'm coming, Carrie. Patty just sorted her off earlier than usual.
Oh, you're back, Rory.
Oh, hello, Sheila.
Is it all right? The breakfast, I mean.
Oh, it's grand. What have you got there?
Marmalade.
Oh, she's my favourite thing. You're just in time.
I'll open it for you. There. I hurried over to Hennessy's to get it, but Maura kept me talking.
Oh, she's a girl for Gabin, sure enough. Oh, this is new. This locket you're wearing. Who gave you that?
Oh, it's just a locket. My mother left me. I had it repaired the other day so as I could wear it again.
Let me look at it.
There's nothing to see. A photograph of my mother on one side and...
And who's on the other?
No, please, Rory. It's just ahead of me. No, you're not to undo it. Let go of me, Rory.
I want to see it. Why can't I? Sheila.
I'll take it off. Here you are. I hope you won't be angry.
Angry? Why should I be angry? It's you and me. Cut out of the group Sean took ages ago.
You don't mind. It wouldn't have fitted in unless I left our heads together.
Mind? Of course I don't mind. In fact, tell me, what was Maura on about?
Oh, just reminding me of the class tonight.
How's the shorthand and typing, by the way? Are you good enough to be a secretary yet?
I'll know that next month when we have the exam. Oh, By the way, Rory, Maura was telling me she's going over to tomorrow's thrashing.
Tomorrow? Where?
Over at Flynn's near the crossroads. It's always the best of the year. My cousin Deirdre in Cork is thinking of coming down especially for it, if she can get away from her job.
Tomorrow's your half day, isn't it?
Yes.
Can I come with you?
Oh, would you, Rory? That'd be wonderful.
Do you think old Seamus will play the fiddle?
Yes, and they've got a stage fixed up for the dancing.
Then I'll come on one condition.
What's that?
That you'll dance mostly with me.
I won't dance with anyone else, if you like.
Good. Is it a bargain, then?
I'd wear my new dress.
And we'll have a wonderful
oh,
day.
Oh, I'm so glad you're coming.
Sheila?
Yes, Aunt Kate?
Sheila, Nora's unpacking. Run up and help her like a good child.
Oh, of course. I'm longing to see her London clothes.
Rory, you know that I'd planned to go to Cork tomorrow about the month's sores.
Aren't you going, after all?
Well, the accounts have got so far behindhand, I don't see how I can. Besides, I think Nora'd like me to be here her first day's home. I was wondering if you'd go for me.
Oh, I've just promised to take Sheila to Flynn's thrashing tomorrow. Couldn't Sean go?
Oh, he hates the city. And if I do the accounts, there'll have to be someone here to look after the bar.
Well, wouldn't it do if I went on Saturday?
Well, sure, the shops will be shut at one. And there's a whole day's ordering to be got through. Well, it's not often that I ask you to do anything.
Oh, I know. It's just that I was looking forward to this.
Ah, well, if you won't go, you won't. That's all there is to it.
Well, if it's really necessary, of course I will. Oh, I hate to disappoint Sheila. She doesn't have much fun.
Kate, will you come and pull me the other
point? I'll be with you in a moment, Callie. Sheila will understand, Rory.
I suppose so.
Then you'll go for me?
All right.
Oh, you're a good boy, Rory. That's a great load off my mind. Come in, Callie.
Blast, blast.
And 20 is 40, and that's 442.
I've sent the telegram, Mother.
Ah, good. What did you say?
That Sheila would arrive on the 7 o'clock train from Limerick.
Ah, that's a good boy. Have you brought that trap round to the door yet?
No, I'm going out to the yard to harness it now. I must say it's hard on poor Sheila, being hustled off to Matt's at a moment's notice.
Well, you can't think I like it, with a fair in the town next week.
I thought you'd decided to refuse.
I had, but they must need her badly to write a second letter.
Oh? You've had another?
Oh, didn't I tell you?
No.
Ah, one arrived from Hannah this morning, full of woes and troubles.
Sure, those two are experts at making the poor mouth.
Well, it seems this is the worst attack Matt has had. The doctor says he must have every care to pull through it all.
If they were willing to pay, they could easily find someone to help up there.
Oh, sure, sure, I know that. But he's my brother. I haven't got the heart to refuse.
Well, I'll get the trap. Tell Nora to hurry.
Nora, are you ready?
Coming now.
Has Sheila finished packing?
Nearly. Do you think I'll be warm enough in this?
You're sure it's not cold out?
Oh, it looks a lovely afternoon. Tell me, Kate, do you miss the farm at all?
The farm? I hated it. Those awful winters up to your neck in mud and dirt.
Of course. You always had a hankering for the town.
June, I was tired of being poor. I knew I could make a success of this pub. And it isn't often there's one for sale in these parts. I think I did the right thing. We're comfortable now, thank God.
You certainly are.
And yourself? Are you happy?
Oh, yes. Jim's a good husband and the two children are healthy and fairly intelligent. We've made some good friends in London.
You no longer think about the past, I hope.
Michael, I still love him, if that's what you mean.
Nora.
Oh, don't worry, Kate. It doesn't hurt anymore. I don't let myself even think about it often, because when I do and I remember the ridiculous reason behind our parting...
Ridiculous!
Oh, I know he was a Protestant. But he was a man, and I loved him. It's only in this country that religion is capable of separating people. How stupid I was then. If I'd been the person I am now, I would have married him if he was an out-and-out pagan. Well, I didn't. And I'm reasonably happy, but I'll love him till the day I die.
By the way, poor little Sheila's a bit gloomy.
Well, I don't see why. She's always said how fond she is of Matt and his wife.
Oh, she doesn't mind going. It's having to start at once that's upset her.
Sure, I'm in despair at sending her at all. But with Tom Hennessy offering a drive as far as Limerick, I thought it best to get it over with.
Well, it's not my affair. But I'd let Matt and Hannah wait a few days, rather than make the child miserable.
Oh, she's all fads and fancies. She'll be as game as a cockerel once she's there.
Maybe you're right. Where's Sean?
He's bringing the trap round to the front door.
Are you sure you don't mind? I mean, my going off to the Molloy?
Of course not, girl. I've got all those accounts to go through. Besides, you can fetch the ham from Pat. Knowing Mary, she might easily arrive without it.
Don't you think it might be a good thing if I had a word with Sean?
No. No, I don't. I'd much rather you said nothing.
Nora.
I'm ready, Sean.
Fine. We'd better start out, or we won't be back before dark.
Sean, before we go, run upstairs like a good boy and bring down Sheila's suitcase. It looks rather heavy.
I'll do that.
I gave her that taffeta blouse of mine to cheer her up.
Gosh, all this carry on because she's got to go away for a few weeks. Well, when we were young, we did as we were told and made no fuss about it.
That's true. But we had better times than the youngsters nowadays.
Don't agree with you. They're all spoiled. Reading the dreadful stories in the Sunday papers, one wonders how the Lord can keep his temper at all.
Hey, can I give you enough to eat? She's a real old skin twins. Tell Matt I'll try to get up and see him one Sunday. Now, there we are. And Sheila?
Yes?
Look after yourself.
Thank you. Goodbye, Sean. And goodbye, Aunt Nora.
We are off to the Molloys. Have a good journey, dear.
Thank you, Aunt Nora.
Yes, have a nice day, and don't forget the ham.
I won't forget.
Ah. You ready, Sheila?
Yes. What time did Tom say he'd call?
About 3. He'll not be long now.
I suppose I must go today.
Now, don't let's have any more of that. It's a bit of a rush, I know. And if they weren't in such a state at Carrigglen, you wouldn't be going at all.
If I caught the early train in the morning, there wouldn't be much difference, surely.
Orphan, you can do half the journey comfortably in a car.
I don't mind the train, but you see, I may be away for a few weeks. I wanted to say goodbye to one or two people.
Who, for instance?
Well, Rory. He goes back to college next week. He'll think it odd, my not waiting to say goodbye.
Sure, he'll understand. Besides, I can say goodbye for you.
I suppose so, but...
What?
Well, it was disappointing for him not being able to take me over to Flynn's.
I know. I'm sorry I had to send him to court.
Oh, sure, that couldn't be helped. But now, when he gets back, I'll have gone without a word.
He'll be sad, of course. He'll miss the way you spoil him.
Spoil him?
Yeah, but we all do. It's because we are proud that one day he'll be a priest.
You know, Aunt Kate, it's a funny thing to say, but I somehow can't see Rory being a priest.
Wishef, what are you talking about, girl? What, with 5 years of his training already behind him?
I know that.
Has he been talking to you about it?
No. It's just that nothing he says or does seems to fit in with the priesthood. Mm. He's so gay and full of fun. I can't imagine him wearing the cloth and being serious all the time.
Oh, is that all? You've got quite the wrong idea, child. Priests don't have to be gloomy and serious. Look at Father Sheehan. Always joking and full of life.
Well, that's not exactly what I mean, Aunt Kate.
Oh, then what do you mean?
I don't think that Rory's got the kind of mentality that's right for the priesthood.
Sheila.
Well, don't be angry with me. It's what I feel.
Well, if that's what you feel, I suppose it's only right you should tell me.
You see, I'm sure.
You're sure of what?
That Rory no longer feels he's got a vocation.
Well, don't you think his own mother would know, if that were the case?
He might not tell you. I think he's going on with it because he doesn't want to make you unhappy.
All this, and he said nothing to you?
No, not a word, but I know him so well.
Not as well as you think. You'd be surprised if you knew what he thinks about you.
Rory's fond of me, I know that.
Of course he is, we all are. But if you must know the truth, you worry him a lot.
Worry him? What do you mean?
Well, child, Rory thinks that you're in love with him. And that one day you'll be wanting to marry him.
Marry him?
Yes. And it makes him very unhappy.
But I don't think I ever thought of that.
Well, he seems to think that one day you may. And that's probably why he spoke to me.
Rory spoke to you? About me?
In a very kind way.
I can't believe it. Well, what did he say?
He asked me to try and explain that his love for you is a brother's love, nothing more.
Did he say that?
Well, he didn't want you to be hurt by feeling something different.
He might have told me that himself.
Ach, now, child, don't be carrying on so. Everything will turn out for the best.
I'm so fond of him. I can't bear to feel that I've upset him.
Tell me the truth, Sheila. Are you in love with Rory?
In love?
I mean, if things were different, would you want to marry him?
I don't know. Perhaps I would. I think about him always.
Oh, you poor child. Well, maybe it's all for the best. Matt and Hannah needing you just now at Carriglen.
Oh, please, couldn't I stay tonight? Just to tell him how sorry I am.
Well, don't you think that that might embarrass him a little?
Maybe it would. I'll write him tomorrow from Matt's instead.
Yeah, you do that. And by the way, dear, I hope you've not forgotten to pack that bundle of magazines for Hannah.
It's a good thing you reminded me. I've left them upstairs.
Is herself in?
Oh, you're a bit early, Carrie. Do you mind waiting a few moments?
Well, Sheila after, all dressed up.
Hello, Carrie.
Hello, love.
She's going up to her Uncle Matt for a while. He's not too well.
I'll get those magazines. I'll be down in a moment.
I came up directly. I got your message. Though God knows I'm far from well.
What's wrong?
A pain like a knife across my stomach. Wind, I suppose.
Oh, would a drop of whiskey help?
Sure, that's kind of you, Kate. It is the only thing that relieves it.
All right, there's some in the dresser here. Here you are, Carrie.
Thank you, dear. I feel better already. Oh, I don't know what we do at all without a drop of whiskey. Now, what was it you wanted to see me about?
Ah, here's Sheila now. Now, I want a word with her before she goes. Carrie, go in and keep an eye on the bar like a good girl.
Oh, I suppose everything's locked up in there.
Aunt Kate, I've scribbled a little note to Rory. Would you give it to him when he gets back?
Sure, of course I will, directly he gets back. And I'll tell him how brave and sweet you've been. Oh, mother of God, there's Tom already. Hurry now, put on your coat, and I'll go and give him a little something for being so kind.
Oh, Aunt Kate.
Yeah?
I'd like you to give this to Rory, too.
But isn't that the locket your mother gave you?
Yes. Perhaps I'm being silly, but I'd like Rory to have it.
Sure, he'll be delighted. And I'll give it to him with your note.
Thank you.
Well, get along now, or Tom will have a fit.
I'm going. Goodbye, Aunt Kate.
Goodbye, my dear. Goodbye. What has she said to him? Now I know what I have to do. Carrie!
Are you ready, Kate?
Yes, will you come in? I'll tell you what I wanted to see you about.
Oh, what is it then, Kate?
Now listen, Carrie. I can't leave the place, so I want you to do a little job for me.
And what would that be?
You know where Maisie O'Connell lives in Bridge Street?
Of course I do.
Well, Maisie has a connection with a Shamrock domestic agency in Cork.
Oh, I know. She supplies the castle with maids from there.
Sure, that's right. Now, I want you to hurry down and tell her that I need a girl quickly to help me with the house and the shop.
Will you want her to live in?
Yes, but tell Maisie I need references.
Yeah, I'll go down straight away.
And Carrie, I don't want anyone young and flighty.
Oh, you can't be too fussy when it's only temporary.
And who said anything about it being temporary?
Well, isn't Sheila coming back?
Ma says if you don't listen instead of asking questions.
Well,
don't. You just tell Maisie that if she finds someone suitable, it may be permanent. And go on, hurry now. And I'll have another little drop ready for you when you come home.
Oh, I'll fly, so I will.
And as for the wretched locket, the fire's the place for that.
Blast!
Is that you, Rory?
Damnation, she's coming down.
What on earth kept you so late? I was just going to bed. Oh, Sean, you frightened me.
Is Rory not back from Cork yet?
No, can't think what's keeping him. It's after 11. I thought you'd gone to bed hours ago.
I couldn't sleep. It's that pain I keep getting. I needed a drop or something to take it away.
Oh, my son. Is that the only thing that helps?
I'm afraid so.
When you were a little boy, you used to get those terrible headaches, you remember?
Yes, Mother.
Yes. And you used to say, Mother, my forehead is loose. Please fix it for me.
Yes. Yes. You used to lay your hand gently on my forehead and keep it there until the pain went away. Yes, I remember. Thousands and thousands of years ago.
Oh, it was only yesterday to me. But it was like magic, wasn't it? And you know why? Because I loved you so much. Because I had to put you out of pain. I was somehow able to do it.
Was that it?
And that was it, son. And I want to help you now. Won't you let me?
I'm all right.
You're not. Oh, I know you don't like me to talk about it, but surely it might be worth seeing Dr. Reardon.
You know as well as I do, it's not that sort of pain.
Yes, I suppose I do. But, Sean, we must do something. Sheridan, the famous nerve specialist, he started a clinic.
To hell with Sheridan!
Sean!
And you. You made me like this. Now I look after my own cure. This is the only medicine I need.
Oh, how can you say things like that?
Because I won't lie. To myself or you. Let's be honest with each other after all these years. I'm sick in my soul, not in body or mind. And you know why.
Oh, Sean, don't.
Remember, when I wanted something better from life, you prevented it.
Well, it wasn't so easy for me then.
I know that. It was possible, though. If you'd been prepared to wait a little longer for the comfort and security you coveted.
Well, I want to help now.
Too late, Mother. That's my little tragedy. And yours.
Oh, don't be like
then
that.
Then leave me alone. What more do you want? You're making a small fortune out of this place, and you've made whatever I am out of me.
How can you be so cruel?
I'm your son. Perhaps that's the explanation.
Oh, I can't bear it. Oh, that'll be Rory, thank God. It's you, Carrie. So late.
I met Colonel Fitzgerald near the county club, and he asked me to deliver a message to you, Kate.
Well?
As early as possible, in the morning, he'd like you to send over a case of whiskey and a bottle or two of champagne, if you've got such a thing.
Sure, I'd better write it down in case I forget. I'm not grumbling, of course, for they're the kind of customers one needs. But, oh, what a lot of drink they get through up at the castle.
Yeah, the people need something to soften the knocks of life. I'll give you one guess what I feel like now.
No, it's after hours, Carrie. And that new guard is on the lookout for something to complain about.
Gotta go on, darling. When you were gathering your fortune, you didn't pay much heed to them.
That I won't deny. But do you think you should have any more? You drank at least half a bottle here this afternoon.
Sure, the carcass is old. It needs a lot of oiling. There. I'm willing to pay for this one. Me horse came in today. God's blessing on him.
Oh, you know it isn't that. Whatever else, I'm not mean. Sure, I'll risk the guards, as I've often done before, and get you half of one.
That's a good girl. My throat's as dry as the road outside.
Here you are, Kerry.
Ah, bless you, Kate, me darling.
In a way, I'm glad you dropped in. I'm feeling a bit low at the moment.
So what's wrong at all? You're usually on top of life.
Ah, there's some that. I can't think what's keeping Rory. I expected him home long ago.
Rory out so late? Don't tell me that the priest-to-be has started court.
Another blasphemous remark like that, Carrie, and I'll let the quenching of your thirst wait till tomorrow.
Sure, I meant no harm. And the lad's not a priest yet.
No, but by the help of God, he soon will be.
How long's he been at it now?
He's got 5 years behind him. One more, and he'll be ordained.
That is, you'll be the proud woman when he is. Has Nora gone to bed?
Yes, she has that. She was in the country today looking at old friends, and she felt tired.
The Malloys, I suppose.
Ah, and how did you guess that?
I saw the trap coming up the Fermoy Road, and knowing what cronies she and Mary used to be, I put two and two together.
Sure, you're an ace hand at doing that.
You know, it's myself that says so. Carrie Donovan seldom wrong.
I grant you that.
Look how right I was about that saucy doxy at Walsh's drapery store.
What, you mean that fair-haired girl I bought the petticoat from last week?
That's the one. Bald as brass. Aping the gentry with her tennis rackets and perfumes and madam this and madam that.
Oh, now that you remind me, I did think her a bit hoity-toity.
Putting the decent boys of the town off her with her airs and graces. And what do you think she was up to all the time?
Sure, how would I know? Well, go on, girl.
Gallivanting with the Bank of Ireland, if you please.
The Bank of Ireland? How on earth would she be doing that?
You know what I mean.
For God's sake. Is it Mr. Driscoll himself you're talking about?
That's the lad.
Well, what cheek of that. And he a married man with grown-up children.
Oh, it's a nice how do you do all right.
Still, there's no harm in a bit of gallivanting, I suppose.
Not if it stops at that.
What? You don't mean...
They've run off to Windsor together. Eloped, as you might say.
Whisha, Carrie Donovan, what do you say?
It's the truth, Kate, as God is me judge. And what do you think your little pet father Sheehan had to say about it all?
Well, what could the poor creature say?
He blamed it all on Hollywood and the films.
And sure he's right. They're the ruination of the country.
Oh, take it from me, Kate Murphy. The fault lies much nearer home.
And what are you driving at now?
If the priest didn't make it a mortal sin for a boy to be looking at a girl, they'd marry earlier in this country. And the girls wouldn't be thinking of married men or leaping across to England to learn the mysteries of love.
Oh, it is a shame you should be.
Ah, come off it. Get off your high horse. That's the trouble here. We're expected to be ashamed of anything that's natural.
I'm not listening to you. You're in the pay of the devil himself.
What are you two having a free-for-all about?
Rory! Oh, I didn't hear you come in.
Hello, Carrie. Having one for the road?
And even don't, making fun of poor old Carrie.
Now, come on, come on. None of your grammar, Cree. Go on, leave us in peace.
Oh, isn't it nasty? You've turned because I give you a lick of the tooth.
Go on, out with you. And don't darken my door again till you've learnt to harness that wicked tongue
of yours. Not a bad cess to you.
Carrie's had one too many as usual.
Don't let's talk about the wicked old thing. She's got a tongue like a viper. What kept you so long?
I missed the last train.
Lord save us, how did you get back?
Oh, Tim Fahey gave me a lift. He was up at the opera house.
Oh, I've always said the Fahey's are nice, obliging people.
Is Sheila in bed?
They're all in bed, sure. It's quite late. Did you order the tin fruit?
I did, and I paid White's bill and delivered Rita's eggs. Mother, I brought a little present for Sheila. I'm dying to know if she'll like it.
I suppose you didn't have time to call on Father Marnie.
Well, no, it takes quite a time getting about, and I don't know the city too well yet.
I hope you found time to have a bite to eat.
I went to the pavilion for supper.
Oh, did you now? Isn't it lovely the way they serve things there?
Yeah, it's a grand place, all right. And who do you think I met there?
Who? Someone from the town?
No, but you remember my telling you about a friend of mine at college called Dermot O'Connell?
I do, indeed. Well, surely isn't he the son of Dr. O'Connell from the Mall?
That's right.
Wasn't that nice now? And his father is one of the best practices in Cork. Who was Dermot with?
He was alone.
Oh, then he must have been doubly glad to see you. And what was he doing eating alone with a lovely house nearby?
I think he was trying to work things out.
Oh? And what was he trying to work out, for heaven's sake?
He's not going back to college. He's decided not to be a priest after all.
Wish in the name of God. But what's happened?
Discovered he hasn't a vocation, that's all.
That's all? His poor family. Well,
according to Dermot, they don't mind. They seem to think it lucky he found out in time.
Ah, whatever they say, it's a tragedy.
But I wouldn't say that, Mother. He's fallen in love and he wants to get married. Sure, that's natural enough.
What, when he had the chance to serve the Lord?
Wouldn't it be a greater tragedy to become a priest with those feelings inside him?
Well, I can only thank God I'll never have to suffer the disappointment his mother's had. Now, there's everything you want. Now, don't be too long down here. I'm going to bed. I've had a tiring day.
Mother.
Now, don't let's talk any more. It's nearly 12 o'clock, and we must be up at 7 for Mass.
Don't go, Mother. We're hardly ever alone like this, and I must talk to you.
No. We can talk on the way to chapel in the morning.
I'd rather tell you now.
Oh, you wouldn't be upsetting your poor mother, would you, Rory?
This will hurt you. But I'm afraid I must be truthful. Please sit down, Mother.
Well?
I'm not like Sean. I've never been one to think very deeply about things. And since I was a boy, I accepted the fact that you wanted me to be a priest. I was even reasonably happy about it. But when I got back from college a few days ago and mixed again with those I've known from childhood, I began to feel discontent and uneasy about the life ahead of me. Something had changed. Something was wrong, yet I couldn't decide what it was. Today in Cork, I was in an agony of mind. And as I stood on Patrick's Bridge and looked down the river, a storm blew up. A flash of lightning turned the river red and rolls of thunder shook the bridge. It was as if the confusion inside of me was being reflected in the water below. And in some mysterious way, I felt that with the storm's end, knowledge of what was wrong would suddenly be clear to me. After walking for miles in the rain, I found myself outside the pavilion. I wasn't hungry, but felt compelled to go in. And there I found Dermot. When he'd finished telling me about himself, the storm had cleared, and the confusion in my mind with it. I knew I did not possess the true vocation for the priesthood. Oh, I know how hard it will be for you to understand this.
Understand? How can I? It would mean going back on my vow.
What vow?
Rory, when your father died, and I was left with only Sean on that miserable plot of land on the cold mountain side of Drumineen, I made a promise to God. I knew that without Jack, the damp and mud of that farm would eat into my soul. And as I felt you stir within me, I talked to the Almighty. I begged for a miracle that would take me from that bleak place. I made a vow to him that if the child I carried was a son, I'd make him a priest to do his work. Well, he answered my prayer, making it possible for us to enjoy a little of the comfort and warmth of this world. Oh, don't tell me now that I must break my vow, that I must fail him. Oh, don't tell me that, Rory.
But what do I do, Mother? I feel lost and confused. It isn't only that I've no vocation. That's but half my problem. I no longer wish to face life alone. I've discovered that I need what most men need. The love of a woman.
Rory!
Oh, I know it must be a disappointment to you, but you'll find some consolation in this. I think, though I'm not sure yet, that I'm in love with Sheila. And I know you're devoted to her.
So Sheila was right after all.
What do you mean? We've never discussed...
I know. Oh, what a wise girl she is. For she saw what I failed to see.
You mean that she feels for me as I do?
No, Rory. Sheila talked to me very seriously this morning. She said that she was worried, that she loved you dearly, but she felt that you misunderstood her affection, which apparently is that of a sister for a brother. And she has a strong feeling of guilt that she may have conveyed something different to you.
She said that?
Yeah. And you must think highly of her. Few of her age would be so good and unselfish.
Unselfish? What are you saying, Mother?
Well, thinking that she might be a danger to your whole life, she packed her things and she left here this afternoon.
Because of me? Where's she gone to?
She seemed reluctant to say, and I didn't force her to do so. Her worry about you was but one of the several problems that that poor child is trying to solve.
What problems could she have?
Well, she didn't tell me much, but I gathered that she's in love with a man who is unable to marry her.
I can't believe it.
Oh, I don't blame you. It was a shock to me, too.
But who? Who is this man?
I don't know. She didn't tell me.
Mother, she's been so close to you. You must have some idea.
Well, I do know that young Musgrove was very keen on her.
The young man from the north who stayed with Colonel Fitzgerald?
Aye. And I happen to know that he's married. Anyway, whatever the truth of the matter, it seems that she wanted to go away and be on her own for a while.
What'll she do? How will she live?
Well, through those evening classes she's been attending, she's now a trained shorthand typist, and she's got that little bit of money her mother left her. The girl wants a career, Rory. And sure, there's little that an ambitious and intelligent person can do in the town of this size.
I see that. Isn't it strange, though, that she should go off at a moment's notice without saying goodbye or anything?
Ah, it is indeed, I suppose. On the other hand, the fact that she was worried about you could explain that. And don't forget, Sheila's always had a longing to be independent, to travel. She was always talking about how much she'd like to see London and Paris. Well, remember the way she used to study the letters and postcards that Nora sent from London over the years?
Yes. Yes, I do. I still think the whole thing very strange. I'd imagine the people here in the town will, too.
Yeah, I agree. It's put me in a very awkward position. After all, one doesn't know what they'll think. In fact, I decided to tell everyone, even Nora and Sean, that she's gone to Matt's and Hannah's for a while. Since they asked for her anyway, it's an easy lie to tell.
You think she's gone to England?
It would seem so. The Inishfallen was due to leave Cork Harbour this evening.
If only I could have talked to her to make sure of my feelings. I suppose it's possible she might spend a few days with her cousin Deirdre in the city before going away.
Well, she's fond of Deirdre, but, oh, I don't know, Rory. Oh, I've had a tiring day and all your questions are confusing. Where are you going, child?
To Cork, in case she's still there.
But you realise it's almost midnight.
Yes, but I'd be able to catch the mail train from Dublin.
Rory!
Don't you see? It's important to my peace of mind to see her.
Oh, I shouldn't, son. And here, I nearly forgot. Sheila left this note for you.
Dear Rory, I'm sorry if I've made you unhappy. Perhaps it's a good thing I'm going away for a time. Forgive me.
You see, Sheila felt she was disturbing you, distracting you from your studies. If you see her now, you'll upset her even more.
Besides, you should go to bed and rest. I mean, you've only one more week at home before you enter college again for the 18 months.
I'm going to Cork. Expect me when you see me.
Oh, God. Surely I did the right thing. Please, please give him the strength to remain with you.
Murphy, it's the proud woman you must be this day.
Ah, it's what I hoped and prayed for, Carrie.
Father Rory Murphy. Oh, and doesn't the cloth become him?
It does indeed.
Mrs. O'Donoghue was saying so this morning when she came to get his blessing. So the whole village was lined up outside the door at opening time. Oh, for his blessing, I mean.
Ah, yes, I'm very proud of him. He'll be down for his dinner in a minute. Are the potatoes done?
They are so fine and floury the way he likes them. These 18 months are gone like a flash, wouldn't you say?
Not for me, Carrie. I'm his mother, remember. Ah, come along, Rory. Your dinner's already.
It smells good, I must say.
Carrie, you might call Sean. I told him 1 o'clock sharp, but he's buried in those books of his these days. I doubt if he heard me.
Sean, come on. It's dinner time.
I'm coming.
I'll be going along to look after the bar.
Rory, you say grace for us?
Of course, Mother. Benedict Domine nos et ectua dona, quid tua laetate summa sanctuari, per Christum Dominum nostrum.
Amen. Sean, can't you eat a meal without a book propped up in front of you?
For heaven's sake, Mother, leave me alone. I'll read if I want to.
Rory? I saw Pat Malloy's trap outside Hennessy's this morning. I suppose he'll be in to see you before he goes home.
Oh, how is he at all?
Except that his tongue gets sharper. The years don't change him at all. Oh, here he is. Come on in, Pat.
Who's this I see?
Pat.
Rory. Cardinal Rory Murphy. The dazzling light of sanctity surrounds the very ground you walk on. I heard you over at Hennessy's that you were back. Ah, 'tis fine you're looking, boy.
There isn't much change in you. Same old Pat, I see.
Ah, I'm wasting away. What with the wife, the government, and the cost of tobacco, life is hardly worth living. How are you, Sean?
Well enough, thank you, Pat.
You still get your nose in the books, I see. Well, you couldn't do better. There's nothing like a little learning. Look what it's brought your brother, the church. The only luxurious way of living left to man.
Ah, well, you'll have to mind your P's and Q's from now on. Or himself will be pulling you to order.
And to think I used to dandle him on my knee, and now he stands before me, a fearsome Irish cleric. But it must be wonderful having that studying over and done with.
Oh, I'd rather have it behind me than in front of me, I can assure you.
Saving souls is a lot less wearisome than saving crops. Well, Kate, 'tis a proud and happy woman you must be today.
Well, what mother wouldn't have in a priest in the family?
Only for the arthritis, I'd kneel for the blessing, Father.
Well, you must have a drink on the house, Pat. Carrie!
Yes, Kate?
A drink on the house, and they say miracles don't happen.
What a sarcastic old codger you can be.
How's Pat Malloy today?
Ah, sure, the devil couldn't kill a bad finger.
Come on, give him a large one, Carrie, before his blather makes me change my mind.
Oh, sure, nothing could be upsetting you now, woman. You've got what every Irish mother longs for. Someone with influence to put in a good word for you in heaven.
Now, listen, a sting in every word he utters. Rory, go on, finish your dinner now it's hot.
I'll go into the snug and let you have your meal in peace.
Ah, stay and talk. I haven't seen you in a century.
What am
about a bite to eat, Pat?
Yes.
There's plenty.
I don't. I had a bit of ham across at Hennessy's just now.
And a little something to wash it down, no doubt.
She said that with the bitterness of someone who'd taken the pledge.
There's no fear of that. How's Mary?
Well, she's got her health and me. What more could any woman ask from...
Listen to the coxcomb. And tell me, what brought you to town today?
I'm meeting the wife's sister.
Cool, you're not meaning Bridie.
Aye, on her annual penitential pilgrimage to the farm. She's riding from Dublin this afternoon, at least I think so.
Ah, then you're the very man I want. I'm going up to Cork on the same train. Will you drive me to the station in the trap?
Sure, I'd do more than that for you, if the truth be known. Yeah. Well, your health, Father.
Good luck, Pat.
Have they fixed you up at the parish yet?
No, but the bishop wants a number of us newly ordained priests to go to Africa as missionaries.
Ah, so that's where you're off to.
Well, unless I get a parish near here, I'll feel obliged to volunteer.
Ah, don't you worry, son. My visit to the Archdeacon of Cork today will prevent that.
Oh, so you're taking a hand, Kate.
I am. And you don't think I'd allow them to send my Rory to a terrible place like Africa?
Africa? There's a certain magic in the name, you know.
Ach, listen to him. He's talking like an Englishman. I made Rory a priest so that he could do the work of God.
Yes. The work of God in a comfortable Irish parish, you mean. Listening to you, Mother, one would think a priest was a commercial traveller, journeying only where there's a ready market for his wares.
Sure.
No. A real servant of God must go forth and seek new territories, new people, to convert to the likeness of Christ. Remember his words, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 10 just men that needeth no repentance. God has favored this country of ours. There's no point in leading to the altar those who already know the way. One must seek those who sin in ignorance and show them the road to salvation. That's what his apostles did. And that's what the priest of his church must continue to do.
Oh. Did you hear that? Anyone would think he'd just been ordained.
Carrie, will you go and look after the bar?
Carrie's right, you know. He spoke like a real priest.
Yes. He made me feel ashamed.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't take the slightest notice of him. All these books he reads are driving him cracked. Now, Pat, I'll have a quick cup of tea and then it'll be time to start for the station. Will you have a cup, Rory?
No, thank you, Mother.
Pat, what about that new tractor you ordered? Have they sent it yet?
I collected it from Cork last week. Oh, and by the way, who do you think I met in Patrick Street?
Who?
Sheila.
Sheila O'Connor?
Yes. Oh, and wasn't she looking smart? Oh, she's turned out a lovely girl.
But is Sheila working in Cork? I thought she was in England.
England?
She never went there in the end. Yeah, she's in Cork. Oh, I must have mentioned it to you.
Well, I thought you said you weren't sure where she was.
Oh, you're dreaming, Rory. Of course I told you.
No, Mother, you didn't.
Yeah, she's been working up there as a shorthand typist for the past 3 months.
And a nice, cushy job it sounds.
Is she happy?
Sure, of course she is. It's better for a girl than being stuck in a pub.
Will you be seeing her in Cork today, Mother?
I don't know. I want to get back on the last train and I may be some time with the Archdeacon.
Mother, I don't want you to go.
You don't want me to go?
No, I don't think you should see the Archdeacon.
Ah, you seemed pleased enough when I suggested it yesterday.
Maybe.
I suppose it's because Sean...
It's got nothing to do with Sean. It's just that...
Well, what?
Well, for one thing, it's not usual. The Archdeacon might easily resent it.
Oh, nonsense. I've known him all my life. Now, you leave everything to me, Rory, and don't worry.
Your mother sweeps obstacles aside as a dictator sweeps armies to death.
Ah, with your patois and philosophy you're becoming. Now, hurry and finish up the drink, or I'll miss my train and you, your sister-in-law.
Here, more excitement. A telegram.
For me?
No, for Rory.
Now, Carrie, it's Father Rory from now on.
Sure, for God's sake, I forgot. What's the difference anyway?
It's from Matt and Hannah.
Of course, there's been an earthquake at Carriglian. Nothing short of that would put them to the expense of a telegram, surely.
No, just congratulating me on my ordination.
Well, a letter would have got here as quickly.
Oh, what are you talking about, Kate? Letters get to the post office fast enough. But by the time those two old hay bags, Molly Linehan and Aggie Rourke, have steamed them open and memorized them for the town, a hell of a lot of time has gone by. Talk about your Gestapo and your MI5. You can't scratch your behind in this country without everybody knowing all about it.
Yes, it's a pity about you.
Can I bring you anything from Cork, dear?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Look after yourself, then.
And when you go to church to pray this afternoon, say a special one for me.
Any cigarettes, Carrie?
Only these tipped ones.
No, they'll do.
Oh, they'll do indeed. I suppose it's cigars you'll soon be asking for. Give me one of those. I've been panting for a fag all day, but Tate doesn't like me to smoke in the shop.
You've got the wrong end. Tell me, how long have you been working for Mother?
Oh, sure, going on 4 months, I suppose. When the Tipperary girl went off, Kate decided not to train any more of them youngsters. No sooner were they of use than they married and went off to another place. I think she's quite happy with me now. Ah, though she'll never have anyone as good as Sheila O'Connor.
And Sheila's become a shorthand typist, I hear.
Didn't she do well for herself? Great credit's due to her, getting on in the world like that. Do you know when she comes to town to see her friend Myra? Tis a joy to see how neatly she's turned out.
I didn't think she came anywhere near here nowadays.
Indeed she does. Hardly a month passes without her visiting the Hennessys across the way.
I haven't seen her for the past 18 months.
For heaven's sake. Sure, the two of you was never apart when you were children.
Oh, that seems years ago.
None of your woe-begone business. You've been very naughty about that poor child.
What do you mean, Carrie?
Well, I just meant it was a bit unkind not to answer her letters.
What letters?
Well, let me think. Well, it must have been about 6 or 9 months ago, one day over at Hennessy's, when she was down from Cork, and the conversation got around to you. I was saying how sweet you both used to be, always together as children. And she said with great sadness that she'd written you twice and you hadn't bothered to answer.
Do you remember if she mentioned when she wrote those letters?
No, Dorothy, I don't. Oh, I've an idea it was soon after she went up to look after your Uncle Matt, but it's a time ago, and my memory isn't what it used to be. Ah, sure, I didn't mean to upset you.
I'm not upset. Carrie?
Well, you're as white as a sheet.
Yes, Carrie, where's Sean?
Well, I don't know. Why? What's the matter?
Never mind, just find him. Try Hennessy's across the road, the library, anywhere.
Oh, will you keep an eye on the shop?
Yes, yes.
And since I'm out, I may as well collect my old age pension from the post office, if you don't mind.
All right, but find Sean first. Just be quick. Tell him I must see him at once.
Oh, I'll go straight away.
Oh, God. Let my suspicions be wrong. My mother, surely she wouldn't. She couldn't do such a thing. What the hell's keeping him? Ah, there you are, Sean. Sheila.
Rory, I met Carrie at Hennessy's looking for Sean, and she told me you were here.
Oh, Sheila. Is it really you? I can't believe it.
Of course it's me. Or have I changed so much?
No, not at all. It's just that... It's so wonderful to see you again.
I came down from Cork to spend the day with Maura and couldn't resist dropping in.
So I should think. I'd have felt very hurt if you'd left town without seeing me.
Let me look at you. Funny, I never thought the cloth would suit you, but it does. Congratulations, Father.
Sit down and tell me about yourself. Seems an age since we last met.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Well, there isn't much to tell, really. I've got quite a good job, shorthand typist, you know, in a solicitor's office in Cork.
All those years attending the technical school weren't in vain, then. Like a cigarette? Or do you still not smoke?
I'm afraid I do. Quite a lot nowadays. Thanks, Rory.
Got into the habit a bit, Pooh.
Well, Aunt Kate must be thrilled that you're ordained at last.
Yes, she is.
It must be a great relief to you, too, having the whole thing over. I mean...
Sheila?
Yes?
Why did you go away that time?
Go away? When?
Well, you must remember. A year and a half ago, when I was at home, we were going to Flynn's Thrashing together. Instead, I had to go to Cork for Mother. When I got back, I'd found you'd gone. Where did you go?
Rory, you must be dreaming. You know I went to look after your Uncle Matt at Carrigglen.
Oh. Is that where you went?
But surely Aunt Kate told you at the time. And didn't you get the note I left you?
Yes, I did. But to be truthful, I couldn't make head or tail of it. What did you mean, Sheila?
Isn't it rather embarrassing to go into that now? Besides, I explained everything in the letters I wrote from Carrigglen.
I never had any letters from Carrigglen.
You must have had. I wrote the first the day I arrived there, and another 2 days later, and you were at home for at least a week after I left.
I never had them. Oh, Sheila, there's been some terrible misunderstanding. You've simply got to tell me what you meant by that note you left. It's the only way we'll ever discover the truth.
Oh, please, don't ask me that.
Oh, why shouldn't I?
I was very hurt at the time. I've tried to put it out of my mind.
Don't you think I felt pretty hurt, too?
Were you indeed? Then why did you discuss me with your mother the way you did?
Discuss you? With Mother?
The day I left here, Aunt Kate explained to me how unhappy I'd made you.
Unhappy? What do you mean?
She said you felt I'd fallen in love with you. That was why she insisted on my leaving for Matt's at once.
Mother told you I said that.
Yes. She said you realized my feelings for you, but you felt nothing but a brother's love for me. And since you didn't wish me to be unhappy, you'd asked her to tell me.
Oh, Sheila.
Well, I was dreadfully upset. Upset that I'd worried you, I mean. Oh, Rory, I wished so much that you told me yourself.
Now I understand what you meant by that note.
What else could I have meant?
Oh, Mother. Mother.
What is it?
I never asked her to tell you anything.
But surely...
I swear to you, there wasn't a word of truth in what you were told. I didn't know until that very day that I...
Rory.
I'll never forgive her, never.
Oh, no. Shh, don't say any more. There's nothing to be done now.
Sheila, listen.
One thing. When Aunt Kate gave you my note that evening, did she give you anything else?
No.
But I gave her... Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Everything matters between
us. No, no. Oh, God. Oh, dear God.
We love each other. Look at me. Please look at me, Sheila. Oh, Sheila.
Oh, oh, Rory. I've always loved you, and I always will. But our lives are separated now. Rory, there's nothing, nothing we can do about it.
What we feel for each other is more important than anything in the world.
No, not anymore.
Yes, and I won't give you up. Now or ever.
Rory, Rory, don't say such things. You're a priest.
A priest? Oh, yes, indeed. Priest.
Sean.
I heard you. I was watching you. Father Rory Murphy. Not above a game of football with the boys, on a little lovemaking with the girls.
Sean, don't speak to your brother like that.
Leave us alone, Sean. You're drunk.
Drunk, am I? Why, you hypocrite. You're lucky I haven't got a little more inside me, and that I've respect for the clothes you're standing in. Otherwise, I'd hammer the life out of you.
You're making a mistake. It's not like that. You don't know what's been done to us.
Be quiet, Sheila. I owe him no explanation. If you can't do what you want with this collar on, tear it off, then.
No.
All right. I'll tear it off for you. Now take me to task, Casaban. Oh. Come on. Don't you want to work off your smug spite?
Oh, stop. Stop, both of you. Sean, don't heed this. Rory, you're being unfair. It's not surprising Sean feels as he does. He can't know.
No, not care.
Oh, you needed my interest too, did you? Of course, the Golden Prince demands love and loyalty from all his subjects. Not enough you were given everything denied me. The way of life you wanted, a life you seemed well suited to. Forgive me, dear brother. I didn't know you needed my devotion as well. Hasn't Mother made you feel like a new savior? Or do you want me to kiss the hem of your garment?
Get up, Sean.
Stop this, for God's sake. Or I kill you. I swear it.
Let go of him, Rory. Now, Sean, can't you see? Your mother has wrecked our lives. She's lied and tricked us both.
What? It was mother, was it? How did she trick you?
It doesn't matter anymore. I know what to do now. I'll leave the church and marry Sheila. And neither you, Mother, Canon Sheehan, or anyone else can stop me.
Rory!
Who's trying to stop you? I just want to know what hand our dear, sweet mother had in all this.
According to you, I'm the white-headed boy. Given everything I ever wanted. If the only time I ever asked for anything was 18 months ago, when I told Mother I was in love with Sheila and wanted to give up the church. What did I get? Lies. Cunning, stupid lies about the girl I loved.
Lies?
She told me that Sheila was involved with a married man, that she'd run away because of it, and that the trip to Carrigglen was invented to avoid a scandal.
Oh, God.
Yes, that's what she said. And she confiscated letters Sheila wrote me.
Sean, it's true. That's why he went on with the priesthood.
I believe you.
How could she do it?
You might well ask. But everything else had been gathered by then, except the priest in the family.
Oh, what a fool I was.
Don't reproach yourself. I know, Mother. You didn't have a chance against her.
Well, I have now. And I'm taking it. Sheila, I'll go up to the canon this evening and tell him my decision. When everything's settled, I come to you in Cork.
Rory, wait. You must listen to me. We could never be happy together now.
Sheila.
You'll always be a priest to me now. Even if you left the church, I couldn't marry you.
You can't mean that.
I do mean that. I'm a Catholic, Rory.
Listen, listen. You're upset and confused. For the moment, go back to Deirdre. I'll join you as soon as possible. We'll discuss it then.
Goodbye, Sheila.
Good night, Sean.
Sheila.
Goodbye, dear Rory. I'll pray for you always.
Did you hear that? Girl I love, that I die for, tells me to live alone. And why? Because she's a Catholic? Damn the church! I'm sick of it, sick of it!
Rory!
Sheila will see how right I am. When I explain to her calmly and sensibly, she will, she must.
She won't. You know that as well as I do. What strictly brought up Catholic girl would risk being told you stole a priest from the work of God? You know you're simply putting off the real decision.
I tell you, I've made up my mind. Don't you understand? I never had a vocation. I never had the call. The voice of God has never spoken to me. Oh, Sean, you don't know how I've tried. The hours I've spent kneeling on cold monastery floors and churches by my bedside, praying for a whisper, a voice to guide me. But I've had nothing. Nothing.
It's ironic, isn't it? I first heard the voice of God when I was 12 years old, Rory.
What?
The dream was so vivid, the voice so clear that there was no doubt. No doubt at all. I remember waking up and going to the window. It was dawn and the loveliest morning I'd ever seen. The sun, a glowing ball of fire, was rising over the farm, turning the snow on the ground to sheets of diamonds. In my boyish way, I thought that the mysterious universe must surely be connected to the summons I'd just had. My happiness was unbelievable. I kept the secret to myself for 2 years, that I longed to be a priest.
You...
You told Mother?
Yes. She ignored it. By keeping on the farm, she could have me sent to college. But it was money she wanted then. When she sold out and bought this place, it took every penny we had. I had to be taken from school to help run it.
Oh, God. How could she?
Rory, take a lesson from me. Your life has been twisted enough. Don't twist it further. I'm hardly the one to give advice, but I beg you. I beg you. Stay in the church. Don't renounce your vows.
You've heard the things I said. You know the feelings I've in me.
I know all that.
I'm no use to God now.
Despite what's happened, I still believe you can be the priest I might have been.
No. No, I can't.
I think that even now, I could make something of my own life if you do that.
How can you ask me? All the lies and deceit.
I wonder. Pray, Rory. Pray to him for strength. He'll help you. And who knows, though it may not appear so now, but this is the will of God. His ways are strange and often difficult to understand. Remember, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. The weakness of God is stronger than man.
But it's the truth I'm telling you, Pat. What? I was in the snug, but their voices were so loud I couldn't help hearing.
It is a sad and terrible business, all right.
How could she do it to her own flesh and blood? Do you think she was possessed by the devil?
Stop that talk, woman. No wonder the country's in the state it's in. Everything's blamed on either God or the devil. It's about time someone other than God was blamed for the mess this country's in.
Maybe there's something in what you say. But when I think of what she's got to face, me old heart hurts for her.
Don't you think mine does too? But it hurts more for the sons and that unfortunate girl.
Although he'll never go on with it now. Pat, you must be starving. Would you like a bite of something?
No. I had a nice fresh kipper at the station bar. That'll keep me going.
Mother of God!
Now...
The kippers!
Now, what are you on about?
Oh, you've just reminded me. I forgot to collect the kippers from Daly's for breakfast.
You'll get it when Kate gets back.
She'll finish me. Pat, keep an eye on the place. I won't be a moment. And if Kate gets back before me, don't let on that you and I know a thing about the carryings on at all day.
All right. My heart is growing gray ever since the day you wandered far away. There's good fish in the sea, but there's nothing them like the pride of Petrovore.
Rory!
Rory! They've all deserted you, Kate.
Pat! I didn't see you there in the shadows. You gave me quite a turn. And me in a nervous state all day.
What? Go on, woman. You haven't a nerve in your body.
That's more than can be said of you, you old rascal. Drinking away like a fish in it well after hours. What brought you into town today? I thought you'd taken your sister and old Bridie home.
She must have mistaken the day. I've met every train since 3 o'clock this afternoon, and not a sight or a light of her.
Well, where are the boys and Carrie?
She left me in charge and nipped across the Daly to fetch something for you.
At this hour of the night, gosh, isn't she a terror?
Is himself back, Pat?
Sure, I'm here, Carrie.
Oh, so it's home you are, is it?
But where's Rory? I'm longing to tell him me news.
Sure, I'd forgotten. You've been seeing the Archdeacon. How was he at all?
He was fine. Sure, there's not a wrinkle in his lovely, calm face. And a great success with him.
Oh, indeed.
Yes, Katie says you're a woman after my own heart. Always go to the top for what you need.
Go on, woman. Don't keep us in suspense. What has he promised?
What I asked. A nice parish near me. And that'll put pay to any rubbish about Rory gallivanting round the world. Now, Pat, you'd better head for the station again and see if Bridie's on that train.
That I must.
And be careful how you drive, too.
Anyone listening to you would think I had been drinking. Good night, all.
I'd better be off, too, Kate.
Well, where's Rory?
Oh, I don't know. I think he must have gone out in the car. He went off to the garage a few hours ago.
Oh? Did anyone come in today for his blessing?
Well, he did have a visitor.
Who?
Sheila.
Sheila? Do you mean...
She means Sheila O'Connor.
Oh, all right, Carrie. You can go home now. And don't be late for breakfast.
I won't. Good night. Good night, Sean, dear.
Goodbye, Carrie.
Sean. Sean. What are you doing with that suitcase? Where are you going at this hour of the night?
I'm leaving here, Mother.
What are you talking about? Where's your brother?
He's with Father Sheehan.
Father Sheehan? What's he doing up there?
I'll let him tell you when he returns.
Oh, what's been happening? And who brought Sheila Connor into this house?
Is there any reason why she shouldn't come here?
I won't have people sneaking into my home.
Aren't you forgetting it was her home for years, too?
Ah, well, it's not any longer.
Why?
I know it. It's that wicked girl. She's been poisoning you both against me.
Why did you send her away?
Sean, what lies has she told you?
Answer my question. Why did you send her away?
Because she was planning to take Rory from the church.
How?
She was trying to trick him into marriage. She's a bad girl.
Mother, I must warn you. Rory and I myself know the whole story.
Oh. I had to do it. I couldn't let that girl or anyone interfere. I wanted a son of mine to serve God. Was that so wrong? Tell me, was it?
Strange that you can ask me that. Or have you forgotten? For I was the one who wanted the church, Mother. You gave what was easy to give, never paying heed to what Rory or I might need or want. But God is beyond bargains of the kind you thought up. And what has happened today is proof of that. I'll take my savings and some clothes. I'll travel to Cork on the midnight train and from there across to England tomorrow. Rory, I was hoping you'd get here before I left.
Rory!
Hello, Mother. You're definitely going, Sean.
Yes.
You don't think you should think things over?
It's important to me that I go now.
May God protect you. I'll pray for you always. Here's the address where I'll be. Write to me when you're settled.
I will. Goodbye, Mother.
Sean! He stole me. Everything.
I hoped he wouldn't, but perhaps it's just as well. Mother, though I know you'll miss him, he had to go.
I didn't try to hold him. I don't have the right. I'm trying to find words to explain.
Please, Mother, no explanations. I couldn't bear it.
But Rory, the Archdeacon's going to help you. He mentioned a parish near Dublin to start, and after a while he's promised to find you one near a home.
I'm going to Africa.
Africa? Oh, is you joking me, you are?
Just come from Father Sheehan. I leave at once.
Oh, no. No, Rory, no. I won't let you go.
Try and understand, Mother. I no longer belong to you. Oh. I belong to God. That was what you wanted, wasn't it?
Oh, can you forgive me, Rory?
Yes, I forgive you. It's Sheila's forgiveness you must ask
oh,
for.
I will. I promise. Only say that you can stay a little while with me.
No, Mother, I cannot. My things are packed and in the car.
Packed?
Yes. I did it earlier this evening.
Oh, you come in, you're going. Now?
I must. I've got to be with the bishop first thing in the morning. I'm joining a group of young priests that sail almost at once. Believe me, this is much the best way.
Forgive me, Rory. And bless me. Bless me, Father. Before you go.
Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris Filii, Spiritus Sancti, descendet super te omnes. May the Almighty, merciful God, forgive you too. Goodbye, Mother.
Thank you. God and Kate Murphy by Kieran Tunney was based on an earlier work by the author and John Singh and adapted for broadcasting by Cynthia Pugh. Kate Murphy was played by Sybil Thorndike, Rory by Kevin McHugh, and Sean by Dennis Carey. Sheila O'Connor was played by Kate Binchy, Nora by Olga Lindo, Carrie Donovan by Anita Sharp-Bolster, and Patrick Malloy by Michael O'Halloran. Production was by Richard Imerson.